Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Our scripture this morning comes from Genesis, and then our New Testament comes from Hebrews, which Mindy shared parts of with us already. That Hebrews passage really brings into focus this passage from Genesis chapter 18. So listen now for the word of the Lord. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from his tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So the stranger said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah, his wife, and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour. Knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took half a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set it before the strangers. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. Now that story continues. We learn in just a few verses they were messengers from God. In Hebrews, we find this passage. Listen, this is chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. "Let brotherly and sisterly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." A familiar and beautiful passage from Hebrews. Have you ever noticed that we treat famous people famously? If a famous person were to come up to you and ask you for something, you'd probably do it. I would. I would say, "Wow, sure. He asked me or she asked me. That's pretty cool." But what about strangers? What about strangers who happen to be famous? We just don't know it. What about them? Our life is filled with strangers who are famous. Let me give you some examples. There's a little girl in my neighborhood. She's getting ready to turn 5 years old. 2, 3, 4, 5. She's not 4. She's going to be 5. Her mother said that her first 4 birthdays, you know, they were fun, but she didn't really think much of them, the little girl. But now that she's getting ready to turn 5, she's ecstatic. She's famous. She's going to be an old 5-year-old in just a few weeks. Everybody in the neighborhood ought to come by and celebrate this little girl with flowers or high fives or ice cream from the custard cup or something. Because this little girl who lives in my neighborhood, she's fabulously famous. When I use my imagination and I look around me, I see famous people everywhere. I kind of have to make up their stories. I have an active imagination and I kind of like to do that, but it's not hard to imagine famous people everywhere. Just the other day, in my mind's eye, the woman in front of me, an African-American woman buying groceries, was a famous woman. That day, in my mind's eye, she had gotten news early that her son had died in an army accident in Afghanistan. In 3 or 4 or 5 days, people will gather in her home. The family will be gathered in. And they will gather, only 10 of them, at a graveside. A young army person will give her an American flag and say, on behalf of the President of the United States and the United States Army and a grateful nation, we offer our condolences to you and give you thanks for the service of your son. That's in several days. Today, she didn't know what to do with herself, this famous stranger in front of me in the grocery line. So she decided she's going to stock her freezer. And she's walking up and down the aisles, or she walked up and down the aisles. The peas were on sale, the Legos, bought several roasts, a little bit of chicken. A famous person, a famous woman. The checker won't even offer to take her bags to the car. Is that the way we're called to treat famous people? The man at the beauty salon, in my mind's eye, and you know, we're going to beauty salons again, aren't we? We're starting to be able to go back. He is in one chair and he just got a raise. The fella 2 chairs over just got laid off after 38 years in the same company. That's a very long time. Add up, do the math. He's close to retirement. Laid off? And the woman 2 chairs down looking at her dye job, she's been cancer-free for 5 years. Today. Today is the anniversary. These are strangers to me, but famous. Famous people going through tough times, known by somebody as their significant other. Famous people. To use that term loosely, famous people then are everywhere. And while we ought not hound them for autographs, why should we not treat them famously? Why should we not treat them with the honor they deserve? And I'm not talking about movie stars here and professional football players, though they're pretty cool, and I would treat them with honor also. But why not treat the more everyday strangers, the more everyday heroes, the more everyday famous people, famously? In the middle of one afternoon in chapter 18 of Genesis, Abraham, sitting outside his tent, notices 3 strangers come by. He goes out. He washes their feet. He says, "Please, you know, stay with us for a while. Let me bring you some water. Let me bring you some milk and some curds." And they agree. He hollers back to Sarah, "Prepare some cakes. Knead them and make some cakes for us." And he goes out and finds a calf and gives it to the servant and says, "Prepare this for these strangers, for these guests." Abraham doesn't know yet that they're messengers from God. In fact, I'm sure Blaise read the whole passage. I left out that part that follows. It's such a familiar story where he realizes, well, he never does, but we do, the reader knows, that these strangers are messengers from God. They say, "Sarah, your wife's going to be pregnant next time we come. She's going to have a child." And Sarah laughs at this because she and Abraham are old. But they say, "She should not have laughed." She said, "I didn't laugh." "Yes, you laughed." "She should not laugh because with God all things are possible." And sure enough, Sarah does have a child named Isaac. It means laughter. So we know these strangers are messengers from God. They're famous. But Abraham doesn't know that. And he pulls out the best china. He goes all out to serve them and to serve them well. You know, this text from Genesis stands for all of Christendom and all of our Jewish brothers and sisters and anybody who pays attention to ancient texts, that we are called to welcome the stranger, that we are called to treat the stranger with respect and honor. We are called maybe to change some words around and to use a colloquial term, famous. We're called to treat everybody as if they were famous. So everybody deserves a measure of hospitality. The writers of Hebrews defines hospitality as mutual love. I shared that passage with you in the King James Version. This is the New Revised Standard. It says this, let mutual love continue. This is a chapter, verse 1. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it, or angels unawares, or famous people. Each of us is created in the image of God. Each of us is the apple of God's eye. Think about that. You are the apple of God's eye. God delights in you and in me uniquely. As such, we are God's, well, famous children, as it were. Famous because of God's love for us. Famous because we've been redeemed by this love. Each of us deserves to be treated well, to be shown hospitality, to be delighted in. My father was taking me for granted one day, as fathers are wont to do. I have a few pictures of my old man here. Suzanne's going to zoom in. One day he wasn't paying me the proper attention that somebody famous ought to get, you know, somebody famous like me. We were on the seawall at Fort Monroe. To our left was the grassy field in which the Army Continental Band played at the bandstand every Thursday night for the concert. And they were cooking with Glenn Miller and Duke Ellington. To our right, the grandstand was to our left. To our right was the entrance of the Hampton Roads Harbor. And ahead of us was the Chesapeake Bay. The sun was slipping down like a coin through a gumball machine behind us over Newport News Point. And the skies were reddening and becoming orange and purple and blue and green and violet. It was near, well, it was at sunset. Twilight would linger for another good hour late in the summer when I was a child. I'd ask my dad if he would race me on the seawall down by the water. And I kept bugging him. He agreed at last to take a walk with me. And he left, and we left my mom and hundreds of others on their picnic blankets and folding chairs listening to the Army Continental Band play music. It was great music. I loved that music then, but my attention span was really small, and I wanted to get up and move around. Mainly, I wanted to race my dad. I wanted to race my old man. Now, if I were a movie star or president, he would have honored my wish right away. Sure, where would you like to run? How far would you like the race to go? When would you like the race to start? But I was only his son. I wasn't the president. I wasn't a movie star. I was Matt, 9 or maybe 10 years old. I still remember saying, come on, Dad, come on. I still remember saying, why not, Dad? Why not? Then an amazing thing happened. And I write about this in my book. An amazing thing happened. And to this day, I can hardly believe it. Out of nowhere, he just shot out and he started running. My old man was running down that seawall. I looked down there and he was getting smaller and smaller. And if I didn't start, he would be at Dog Beach before I even moved. So I picked up the speed. I started running after him. I was a fast kid. My old man was old. I didn't really know how old then, probably 100 years old. I started running after him, and I expected to catch him and pass him and laugh at him when he finally crossed the finish line after me. But I couldn't catch up with him. I couldn't catch up. He kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And then I noticed sparks from his shoes started shooting up from the concrete. And then stripes of flame. He ran so fast it created a great wind. And the trees started to sway. The ships out on that harbor started to throw off their anchors and to hunker down for this great and sudden squall of wind. My dad was smoking. He was so fast. He was a dot at the end of the seawall, disappearing behind the redoubts that a young lieutenant from West Point named Robert E. Lee had helped design before he became a Confederate turncoat. There at Fort Monroe, the Army Continental Band playing Glenn Miller and Benny Goodman and Duke Ellington, and the bay getting ready for sleep at night. And my dad so far ahead I could no longer see him. Most of that story is true. Most of that story is exactly true. I miss my old man. My dad was 7 feet, 8, 9 feet tall. He had winged feet, in my memory anyway. And all I could do was stand breathless as my old man had raced me and had beat me. He was going, well, he was gone. Even though I was beat, though, I was glad. Listen to me. Even though I lost the race, I was glad. I was glad because I knew somebody loved me. I wouldn't have couched it in those terms then, but he loved me enough to race me. For heaven's sakes, what grown man would want to race a child in the middle of a hot summer night when there's good music to be had? But that was a sign of his love for me, and I knew I was somebody. Somebody treated me in that moment like I was famous. I was beat, but I was glad. I was glad because I was a winner, even though I was a loser. I was a winner because I was loved, even though I was dead last. It didn't matter. My dad, for a minute, treated me like the famous guy I was. You know, that's how you feel when somebody notices you. That's how you feel when somebody just pauses for a moment. You don't have to race somebody, but when somebody says, "How's it going?" and they really stick around for a moment for the answer, it makes you feel better. It makes you feel welcomed. It makes you feel like they are treating you with hospitality. That's a good thing, isn't it? Sometimes all it takes is carrying some mother's groceries to the car or saying, "Hey, can I take your cart and put it up for you?" It's not a lot of work to make somebody feel a little honored, maybe a little more human. It's not a lot of work for us to treat others humanly and humanely, is it? Is it? Sometimes all you have to do is kneel in the front lawn and say to some little girl, "Give me a high five. Get on their level. Give me a high five. You're famous. You're beloved. I respect you. I'm excited to be breathing this air in your presence." That's what Abraham was doing there on the side of that road. And that's our call to do with and for others. And you never know. By showing hospitality to a stranger, we might have entertained angels without even knowing it. Or, for a minute, by God's grace, we might have been an angel. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.